Father, we just really want to thank you. We thank you for the courage to be here today. We thank you that because of the courage that we're not going to feel or leave empty. We're not going to leave disappointed. We're not going to leave discouraged, but we're going to leave with your mindset. We're going to leave with your heartbeat. We're going to leave with a vision to see things as you see them. Father, we're going to leave with a seed that we can plant in everyone that we need and give them a reason for our hope. Father, we're going to leave salt and light. Father, we're going to leave as your representatives that people will see our lives and we can tell them this is the reflection of heaven. Father, we're going to leave here today saying to people, if you want to know what Jesus is like, just hang around me. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God, you may be seated. First of all, I'm not Victor. Victor was supposed to be here, but he couldn't make it. But this message that you're going to have is, I woke up Monday morning and God gave me a scripture and he says, Ted, this is what I need you to do. And then I started to pray over it in my personal time. And then we've got Luz, she's in charge of all of our prayer meetings. I get an SMS that God gives exactly the same scripture. And then God starts to speak to me, says, Ted, you're going to be speaking Sunday. So I ring up Victor and I go, God's just been speaking to me. What are you going to speak on? And he gives the same scripture. And the scripture that God's given us is Psalm 91. Now, I want to share this to you because Psalm 91 is a personal scripture to me. It's something that brought me through a really hard time. You know how in life that we have times where we feel under so much attack, and this is when God showed me this scripture. Now, so what we're going to do is we're living in a time where on one end you got some people saying that this is the end of the world. I have never seen people fight over toilet paper. I kid you not. I have a friend of mine that I'm witnessing to at Woolworths. We're getting on, and I told him I was going to pray for him. He reckons this is before they said you can only have one bag of toilet paper. This lady bought five. And as she is going to the car, the trolley falls over, the toilet paper goes everywhere. So he leaves his station to come and help her. She starts yelling at him, don't touch that, it's my toilet paper, leave me alone. Now he's not trying to take it, he's got big Woolworths, I'm here to help. Right. And I've never seen such a fear. Now, if you've lived in Australia, we've never ever seen anything like this. I've seen people fighting over food, cars, girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives. I've never seen people fighting over toilet paper. I'm just thinking, what an investment. And then last night in the news, I think one of shops was selling a couple of rolls of toilet paper for about $70. I'm going, God, this is the end of the world. There is just so much fear. There's just so much there. And some of them, now I understand fear. When you have no hope, fear is really loud. And when I look at all these empty seats and I've got other pastors ringing me up and they're just saying, you know, I just spoke to one church, they've lost attendance of 1,000 has dropped out. Now, so this is what we're talking about where we are now is just not talking about this. What's happening now is not just touching the world, it's touching the church. But what it's doing, it's uncovering what we really believe. I remember seeing an article. It was about a doctor, and he was a surgeon. And there was this young man, and he had difficulty with his arm. And so he gave him a cup, and you can see the embarrassment on the boy. And the doctor said to him, look, just grab the cup. And the embarrassment was that as he moved his hand, you can see the boy being so embarrassed that he couldn't pick up the cup. And the doctor said this, I just want to know where your difficulty is. He goes, I'm not exposing your dementia or the deformity. What I want to expose is what you really believe, because if I can see what's going on, I can help you. So we can look at it, or everything that's happening today, we can look at it as a fear, or we can go, God is trying to teach me something. Now, so part of what we want to do today is I want to talk about a prayer of protection. Here's the interesting that this is highlighted. There are so many diseases already out there that are worse than what we have. Just to say that this is the worst disease that's out there, we'd be wrong. Okay, at this very moment, it's the most contagious, but it's there. We're living in a world where there's just so much. So when we start, I want to talk about is the prayer of protection. Can we put the slide up, please? Now, let's just talk about something about fear. For 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God will never give you a spirit of fear." Just want to watch this. When I look at that, it might sound like so elementary, but what he's just saying is this, is any time that you have a fear, you know it's not God speaking to you. Anytime. It doesn't matter what it is. If you have fear, if I go to David, will he accept me? If that is a fear, it's not from God. Then so first of all, let's just look at this fear for a moment. And the first thing we know that it is a spirit. For God will not give you a spirit. So when the Bible talks about a spirit, he's talking about a personality that exudes who he is or what it is. So the Bible says fear is not an emotion. It's not a negative thought. It is a spirit. Now, understand something here. In the spirit realm, a spirit needs a body to express itself. So what you have, a spirit of adultery expresses itself in adultery. A spirit of lying needs somebody to lie. So in the spirit realm, every spirit has a personality, but it cannot express it until a person agrees with it, and that expression goes from the person into another person. Are we making sense here? Okay, so because we are smaller crowd today, we can become a little bit more intimate. Okay? Because if we're going to overcome this, so this is what God spoke to me about. He says, "You are the salt and the light of the world." And I go, "Well, I used to think that was really great until I realized what he was talking about." He says, "I'm going to show my character through you." See, I always used to pray, because I was a super spiro, that means that I didn't know what I was doing. Because I'm God show them God show your love to them. God show your love to them. I used to pray that, but God says, you got it all wrong. He says, when I went up, I sent my disciples to do what I was doing. So I never realized the responsibility was. God says, I want you to stand out. How many of you would just like me to not to hear that? Because I'm just going, God says, what we don't understand, what I didn't understand before, is that God says, you're my mouthpiece, you're my hand. I get people to look at you so that I can teach them about me. That's when the Bible says, you're the salt and you're the light. So I used to go, God, show them. God says, no, you show them. So here we are as a church worldwide. We have an amazing opportunity to walk through the same situation as they're walking through with a different outcome. So God says, we can look at this one way, but God says, I want to show the world. And he says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, self-control. The word there, self-control, is a revelation light or instruction. So God says, not only so when I give you my spirit, I will give you instruction. Now, first thing we want to do is this, is even the doctors themselves, I've seen the medical professionals talk to the government of the United States of Australia. They're all saying the same thing. He says, don't panic. And they're just saying this, if you have a headache, you haven't got coronavirus. If you sneeze, you haven't got it. What's choking up the hospitals is fear. Now, I'm not saying that. You've got doctors saying that, hey, look, if you just sneeze, it doesn't mean that you've got it. So we've got people panicking all over the place. So the Bible says, I want to give you instruction. And listen to me carefully from your pastor. Follow the instruction. What I thought was really interesting, what the doctors are saying now is what my mum used to tell me when I was a kid. Wash your... If you want to know what's really scary, if you Google, what germs do you find? You know when you have an escalator and you touch it? Google what is on it. You will never, ever go on an escalator and touch it again. I remember Googling it and I go, everything that I won't go into it because I want to have lunch afterwards. Right? But so listen to it. But the Bible says, look, fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. So watch this. You know what faith does? Faith will paint a picture of you prospering. Fear will paint the picture of you failing. What fear does, it goes into the future and it creates your present without it being real. You could be going to work and you feel, you have a fear, I'm going to lose my job. Okay, if I lose my job, I lose my car. I can't pay my mortgage. I'm going to be on the street. I'm going to be in a food line. And you come to work and you're going like this. Somebody please help me. So God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. So the Bible says now, watch this, there are two spirits in this scripture. It is the spirit of fear and the Holy Spirit. So here we got these two arising. He says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but I have given you a spirit. And the spirit is mighty power, it's love, and it's also self-control, revealing that it gives you instruction. So fear is false evidence appearing real. So why are people buying all the toilet paper? Because somebody thinks it's going to run out. That is real. You have, right, the general managers of every paper manufacturer that have been on television saying we are 24/7 producing it. There is no shortage. But what's happening is people are buying it. I heard this. Somebody else was talking to me yesterday. He goes, well, then I believe there's no shortage, but everybody else is grabbing, so I better grab. The cynical part of me says, Ted, why didn't I get shares in tissue paper? I would have been laughing now. Now we're going to get into what we really want to do. I want to share with you Psalm 91. Now, can we have the next slide, please? Watch this. I want to just show you my Bible. I want to give you the key. One of the keys of Psalm 23 is that it's not talking about a shepherd. David is not talking, giving us a description of the shepherd. He's giving us a description of his shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. See, there's a difference between that's Jesus. No, that's my Jesus. So, to give it to this way, this is Sylvie. No, this is my Sylvie. So part of what happens is this, is that David says, the difference is he's not a shepherd, he's my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. So he uses two things that are very personal. First thing, I need to drop this down. I need to make it, this is personal. This is not theory, this is a personal. So the first thing, when I started to look at Psalm 91, I realized it was a prayer and a declaration. So now, because you're really smart, correct? You are really smart. In the Bible, every time they wanted to give, when they would give birth to a baby, they would give it a name. And the name was prophetic of what, who they are and what they were going to do. So it was like, you have a baby? God, what shall we call it? We think of it, oh, that's a name so we can identify from others. The key was, when you come in the name, when every time you look at a name, you prophesy who they are and what they do. So every time the name was spoken, it was a declaration. So what God does to Abraham, Abram means father. Abraham means the father of nations. So he says to him, from now on, you have prophesied, I'm a father. Okay, so you're going to have just a son. No. What I'm going to do, I'm going to say your name and your name becomes prophetic. So your name is, I call you. Second, I declare what you're going to do. So every time you use the name of Jesus, you are prophesying what he's going to do to you. So you can't use the name of God without prophesying. This is who you are. You are Jesus. You are a savior. You are a healer. You are my helper. So what happens is, anytime you say the name, you are prophesying and declaring what they will do. So when we say, when Stephanie comes here and she's going, come on, let's say the name of Jesus. She's not saying, here's the spelling of a name. He goes, every time I use the name Jesus, I declare everything he is, everything that he has done. Plus, then I go, he's also going to do it to me. So when I started to read Psalm 91, I did this. So I just took a picture of it. I'm going to start to take this thing personally. In April 2016 was one of my low points. We had so many things happening. I just remember, God, what in the world am I doing? What have I done? What's happening? And I just go, God, what's the way out? I just God, it's a good time for you to come back. You know what I mean? That's how pastors do it. We don't want to jump out of things. We ask Jesus, it's a good time to come home. But then God, I started to look at this. And God says, your problem, Fabianic, is that this is written for you, but you're reading it like it's for somebody else. It's like you're reading somebody else's love letters. Now, don't do that, right? I can't get Lewis's love letter to Penny and go, Suve. So David does this. Now, so what I want you to do, he says, look at the next slide. The Bible says this, when you sit enthroned under the shadow of a shadow, I want you to do something. Now, all the things that I've got here, we're going to put on our website, okay? So he says, when you sit enthroned under the shadow of the Almighty, I changed it. As you've seen here, I said, when I sit enthroned under the shadow of El Shaddai. You start to take it personally. So get yourself a Bible where you can do this. And so I tell you what, so my prayer now is, I want you to watch this. When I now pray this prayer, this has taken another dimension because I now do it in three multiples. I go, when I sit enthroned under the shadow of Almighty, he's talking about Ted. Second thing I do is I go, when my family sits enthroned. So what am I declaring? When I think about family, my family, immediate family, is Suve, Jesse, Nathan, Ava, Helena, Jude, Florence, Stephanie, Troy, Jesse, Tamara, Christine. Thank you. You've got so many. So I pray for my family. You know, the third thing I do? When my church sits enthroned under the shadow of the Almighty, I pray for all of you. So all of a sudden, Psalm 93 takes three times as long to pray now. Thank you. But see, he says, when I sit enthroned. See, so now what I'm doing, I am positioning you, I am positioning me that we are enthroned under the shadow. Understand this. You know what that means? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You can only be under the shadow if you're behind him, not in front of him. So I go, when I sit under the shadow, that means you are there, I'm sitting under you. The next thing he says, then I start to declare what happens. Watch this. I am hidden in the strength of God Most High. So now it becomes a declaration. The first is, I am positioning myself in prayer. I sit enthroned. My family sits enthroned. My church sits enthroned. And then I start to pray. This is what's happening. I declare that you are hidden in the strength of God. Wow. Hid. To hide something means that somebody else that wants to do something has to search for you. You're not obvious. To hide something, that means people will walk by. You can't see it. And then says that. So let me say, so what's after you? What is after you? Poverty is after you. Sickness is after you. Coronavirus is after you. It's looking for you. And the Word of God says that you are hidden. I am hidden in the strength of God Most High. Understand what we said about the name? I am now declaring, I am prophesying what his name is going to do to me. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me. The God for me and my great confidence. Wow. Now, this is not what we're doing now. This is not God suggesting something. This is talking about a man that has gone through where Saul wanted to kill him, where his family didn't want him. And he goes, this is what made a shepherd a king. David became king with going through things. He didn't come just from zero to up there. So what we find is, number one, we take it personally. Now, have a look at verse 3. Prophesying again. He will rescue me from every hidden trap of the enemy. Now, look at that. Let's pray this, right? He will rescue me, my family, and my church from every hidden trap of the enemy. That means that you accidentally touch something with the virus and you get an itchy lip. And God says, I'll protect you. Think about this. It's either what we got is real or we got a religion to hype us up so that we can survive. To me, this is like, excuse me, I'm just having my personal revival. Because when you start to think, this is God saying, we're prophesying, you will rescue me, you will rescue my wife, you will rescue my children, you will rescue my church. Wow. I'm not suggesting to God, I'm saying your name, I am speaking your name. And he will protect me, he will protect Suve, he will protect my family from false accusations, and guess this, come, let's read it, any deadly, curse. Think about this. Sickness is a curse. So what we're declaring is this. So isn't this amazing that when you look at this psalm, it deals with every part of our life. And he will protect me, my family, my church from false accusation. And then, what's the false accusation? It's called symptoms. I've got a headache. Ooh, you got the 19. I heard you sniffle. 19. Oh, I better, excuse me, I've got a straw. I'll have a cup of coffee. Don't touch it. I don't want your 19. Think of, it's the accusation. Come on, just think about this. It can ruin your day. Somebody sneezed, you touched it, got an itchy mouth, you did this, and guess what the accusation is? Ooh, hey, you got it. You better make a plans for it. Hey, babe, get some glad wrap. We're going to wrap me up. Put me in the freezer and give me food. Right? His massive arms are wrapped around me, my family, and my church, protecting them. I can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms are of faithfulness, are a shield in keeping me from harm. Now, let me just stop here for a second. The word El Shaddai means the God who foreknew and had already prepared. So watch this. Before the viruses came, God made the protection. So when everything on the coronavirus started to rise up from the earth, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit and all the other saints were not going, what in the world do we do now? Let's get a strategy. The Bible says he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So in other words, I want you to get this into your spirit, that the cure for any disease was conceived before the disease became alive. I'll prove this something to you, because you're clever. The most famous verse in the Bible is, for God so that he what? Gave. Now I want you to notice this. In Hebrew, when you talk about love, love and giving are in the same tense, never broken up. It's not love and giving, it's love giving. So in the mindset of God, I can't do this now, okay? I can't do this. Sylve, I really love you, but I am not going to pay the bills. I'm not going to be faithful. I am not going to look after you, but baby, I love you. She will hurt me. Because you know what we've done? We've got love. Yes, I love you, but I choose whether there is an action. So what we do in marriage is we go, we've fallen in love, but we still refuse to give. But God says, I can't do that, because love and works are the same word. So when God says, I don't say I love you, I can't love you and withhold. You're going quiet on me. So from you go, I'm not going to tell anybody I love him anymore. But see, that's what we've done. When we started to do this, God says, I said I love you. That means I'm not holding back anything. So when God says, I love you, he says, I cannot. Because I love you, there is no sickness, there is no sin, there is no curse, there is no spirit of fear. There is nothing that can keep us apart. But that's why the Bible says, when he says, love, what can separate me from the love of God? It's not just saying this emotional outburst that I go, he loves me. What can separate me from healing? What can separate me from deliverance? What can separate me from the peace, the love, the joy of God? Because love and action are in the same verse. It's in the same verb. It's in the same pronunciation. So when God says, I love act. Oh, I thought it was just love. No. And God says, "For I so loved you that I gave my son." Why did I do that? Not because I felt sorry for you, because I could have. He could have said this, "I love Adam, but you made a mistake. I'm so sorry." But God says this, "I cannot. It is impossible for me to say I love you and withhold." Well, how are we going with time? We're not going out anyway, so come on. Now, what I'm saying for you to this, we'll finish off on this, is because we're going to pray, but we are going to change our church after today. We're going to start praying for our church. We're going to start praying for each other. Now, watch this. It gets even better. Look at verse 5. "I will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night." Do you know where this verse comes from? If you look at where it was, there's a scripture that says, "I will not fear the arrow that flies by night." What would happen is when you were in the battlefield during the day, you could actually see the arrows coming. So what you knew the enemy was over there. So what you did, you kept your eyes out for arrows coming. What would the problem is there was, during the night, you never know where the enemy is coming from. So can you imagine during wartime the panic that would be in people? Because if you were an archer, you would have during the day shot an arrow and figured out the angle, the stress, and you go, "If I do that, I'm going to shoot it into the camp." So what they would do, they would practice during the day what they would do during the night. The only problem was during the night you could not see the arrow. And you know what the Bible says? Even when you are not looking to protect yourself, I will protect you. Even though you forget to pray, "Oh God, protect me in the car," God still protects you in the car. Even though you haven't given some, "God protect my child, I forgot to pray for my child," it's all right. God says, "I will still protect you." Look at verse 6. "Don't fear a thing, whether by night or day, demonic danger will not trouble me." Listen to me carefully. People say, "Can you describe demonic to me?" When we start talking about demonic, when I was a young man, anything demonic, what I would see is witches with long robes, a big fire, and you know that thing, right? And then, because to me that was demonic, right? To me, what was described as demonic is kids with blue black t-shirts with all this evil stuff, right? I go, "Ooh, that's demonic." You know what demonic is? Anything that removes peace. Any sickness is demonic. Any anxiety is demonic. Any lack of sleep, of worry, is demonic. We need to expose it so we can deal with it. So he says, there will not be anything demonic. You'll be able to sleep. I remember one of my heroes in the faith is Smith Wigglesworth. Right? One day, right? He was in bed and the whole bed started shaking. He wakes up, there's a demon shaking his bed. He looks at the demon and goes, "Oh, it's only you," and goes back to sleep. I think, "Oh man." Because you know what? You get to this point where you go, "I'm not afraid of the demonic. I'm not afraid." Well, I'm not afraid. Why am I not afraid? It's nothing to do with Ted Fabianic. It's to do with my Father. Now, I want you to notice, once you start to take this personally, that means God is personally interested in you. We need to get over that you're a part of a crowd. My problem is I grew up in a family of 11. My dad was never fathered. My mum was never mothered. We were economically stressed. It was a mess. Can I hear an amen? The problem with most of us is we've been fathered by people that have never been fathered. We've been mothered by people that have never been mothered. And so you're just a part of the thing. But I never realized when I stepped into the family of God, God didn't treat me as a part of the crowd. He treated me as an individual that got 100% of the time. See, in my family of 11, unless you got into trouble, Dad never noticed you. So I realized being noticed means a lot of pain. So I always have to wait. I want Dad to notice me. What do? Let's break something that he likes and then he'll go, oh, that Ted lives, you know. But I never realized, you know what my problem was? I got born again, so I thought that I had to get God's attention. Some of us think the more we worship, we get God's attention. Please do not. I don't worship to get God's attention. I worship because I have his attention. See, let's go to a relationship. I don't try to get God's. I don't do things to get Silva's attention. I do because I have her attention. Can I just say this? I'm no longer dating this woman. We're married. And some of us need to realize that we're married to God. We're not in courtship to God. We're already married. We've already said, I do. Come on. See, there's a huge difference between dating and being married. You know what the difference between dating and being married is? I never drop her off. I don't take her back to her parents and go, hey, babe, bye. We go home. We have a special room. But see, sometimes we do that with God. And God says, come on, no, come on, take things personally. Whether by night or day, demonic danger will not trouble me, will not trouble my family, will not trouble my church, nor will the power of evil launched against me. Listen to me carefully. It's being launched at you right now. Come on. Think about it. There are people that you know should be in church, but they're not in church because it's been launched against them. Now, I want you to, we do not judge, but we pray. Do not judge people that are in fear. What we do is, I am not here to judge you. I am here to take you out of judgment. Okay, let's keep moving. Look at verse 7 with me. Even in times of disaster. What it mean this? See, we had this thing is, I come to Jesus and nothing goes wrong. You know what God says? You are going to step into in the people that